Sweltering heat hit me like the sudden leap of a bonfire when I traded the protection of the mule-drawn cart's tarp for burning sand. I clutched my satchel, squinting against the dying sun. Heat waves created illusions of life out on the sand. Sometimes they came as ripples on a pool of water, others, a snake looking to escape under a rock, or in a far caravan, carting slabs of salt cut from the desert's floor to be sold in the market. They were all just the desert's cruel trick. There was nothing out here. Nothing but me, the merchant I'd caught a ride with in town, and that towering mass of structured stone in the distance that was to be my new home. My frizzy curls stuck to my temples and the back of my neck as I fished a sweaty bill from my pocket, but the merchant held up his hand against it like I was offering him a spider. No charge. To show my appreciation, I insisted. I should have just kept my mouth shut. The cart had been a godsend after six others had vehemently refused. A simple sheet of wood raised between two sturdy wheels on the back end and a sweating mule hitched to the front. Plenty of room for me to curl up and rest, even if I had to share the space with the merchant and his clay pots of spices. And it had a tarp to lie under for shade. A tarp. Even so, it was my last bit of money, at least until this new job paid. Besides, if I was going to pay him, the least he could do was drop me closer to the door. But God bless him, the merchant insisted more frantically, his raised hand turning into an aggressive shooing motion. "God have mercy on your soul," he said, and smacked the mule into a sudden run, kicking sand into the air as the cart circled back the way we came to take the long way through the desert. The cloud of dust left behind stuck to every sweaty inch of me. I licked the salt from my lips and crunched on it. Sand didn't bother me. My insides were so coated with it at this point I was immune. But I wasn't so sure my employer would appreciate my appearance. Hopefully he'd be forgiving. I needed this job. Badly. I couldn't remember the last time I'd eaten a proper meal. I mostly relied on the sand to coat my stomach, to trick my mind into thinking I was full. This job supplied a room and food, and a future patronage which would ensure work for the rest of my life. But one step at a time. I waited until I was sure the merchant wasn't coming back, then held the collar of my dress open to pull my amulet out from where it was hiding, holding it up to examine it for damage. The thin, pure silver, carved by the heat of my welding pen into the shape of a Coptic cross, was wrapped along the edges with various colours of thread. Each welded line and curve, each row of colour, built up protection against manifestations of the evil eye. Any imperfection could throw off the design and ruin the effectiveness of the shield. It was the first real amulet I'd ever made, the only one I'd ever made, since there's no way Jemba would have ever let me waste something as precious as silver for multiple tries. Not to mention that this much silver could feed someone for a month. Longer if they were frugal. I hid my amulet under my dress again, adjusting the collar so the metal chain wouldn't show. It was a survival habit Jemba had taught me to live by since the age of 5. Protect your amulet better than it protects you. I spent part of the 3-mile walk to Thorn Manor dusting myself off with one of my clean dresses, and the rest of it gaping at the castle itself. It looked like something from a fairy tale. Brown stone, ground down unevenly and undefined by dust storms, parapets where ancient emperors might have stood, carved out windows with glass added to them. There were castles like that in grassier lands, I knew. But here, who would want to be emperor of the hottest desert on the planet? Some foreign travellers called it exotic, others called it hell. The second was accurate heat-wise. But to look at it, heaven. Salt and iron crusted the land in yellow and rust, making the desert look alive with magic. But even a wonder like that wasn't enough to get travellers to pass this way. Not anymore. The evil eye had made sure of that. It said the evil eye was the first manifestation of sin, namely jealousy and greed. In a constant state of longing, it latches on to any human who desires the same thing it does. Thriving crops, a random string of good luck, even receiving too many compliments could draw unwanted attention.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.